Social Security Scotland is a new department within the Scottish Government, and certain welfare payments have now been devolved to the Parliament from the Department for Work and Pensions. The current Cabinet Secretary for Social Security is Shirley Ann Somerville, and she recently paid a visit to RNIB Scotland's offices in Edinburgh. The purpose of the visit was to meet and speak with blind and partially sighted people to hear their concerns, their worries, and indeed their aspirations for the new service. And it's fair to say that some of the experiences under the current system from Department for Work and Pensions have been extremely negative. Hussein tells us about his assessment.
As well as being visually impaired, I also have Raynaud's disease, which is a chronic pain condition affecting both hands. And one of the questions that I was asked when the lady from GWP phoned up was, do I need help during the night? And I said, yes, I do. There are times I can't take my own medication. I also said things like trying to find the bathroom or trying to find facilities if I'm in an unfamiliar place, like a hotel or somebody else's house. And she asked me how many times I use the bathroom. And I said, well, it can be 2 to 3 times because my medication requires me to drink a lot of water. And I was promptly told that I should only be going once a night and should consider using a bottle. They then said that obviously because of my blindness, that wouldn't be practical and I should use sanitary towels or similar aids. And I just felt that was the height of unawareness of a condition, the height of disrespect, and embodied everything that's wrong with the current system. And I said, actually, this has very little relevance to my claim. And could we actually focus on the issues related to my visual impairment? And I think for a system to be able to make assumptions without looking at the information present is the embodiment of everything that we don't want in a system.
A very negative experience there, and that concern over assessments is also shared by Claire.
I would say probably the things that I feel worried about is going in for interviews in terms of renewals of PIP, what future renewals and everything. I just think that putting people through that emotional and stressful process of interviews, that's something that I'm really dreading because I don't really cope well with that. I would always need to have someone in with me because eagerness to please, I always tend to say that things are okay when I do need a wee bit of help and everything. So that interviewing process for me possibly is something that I'm a wee bit concerned about.
What is it like attending some of the current assessments under the Department for Work and Pensions? It's fair to say that Jamila's experience has not been good at all.
I wanted to be independent, so I went by myself. And the person who was assessing me was of a different nationality and didn't speak English very well. So all she was there to do was to tick the boxes, basically, and not really asked me too many questions because she couldn't do that. So it became very difficult for me to really express exactly my condition and how I get about and what I need. I felt that people didn't really believe that I was totally blind and people didn't really understand that. And they thought, is she trying it on? I had my white cane at that time. Nobody really helped, no. Even the when you're called out and the assessor comes and you have to follow them, you know, you have to work out where she's gone, what room is she in? There was no guidance at all. So the system itself was very, very traumatic for me because I came out to that room and nobody assisted me out of that room and I was meant to go back into the waiting room and I bumped into the wall because I couldn't work out where I was going. It wasn't very nice.
So how will Social Security Scotland look to run its assessments and its appeals processes? Here's Shirley Ann Somerville, the Cabinet Minister for Social Security.
Well, I've heard, unfortunately, many stories about the current system where people don't feel that they've been assessed by people who have understood them and who have been able to understand what's on the application and indeed pay attention to what's on the application forms and the supporting evidence. So assessors have to be suitably qualified. That's a requirement of the Act that's gone through. And again, we're going out to consultation to ensure that we make sure that suitably qualified actually works for people. So we'll be using our expert advisory groups, we'll be using our reference groups to test that and to seek their guidance on what that should mean, because you should never go through this process and doubt that the people that are doing it have the knowledge and the capability that they require to be able to make the right assessment at the end of the day.
But where will the assessors come from?
Firstly, it will be done in-house by the agency. There will be no private sector involvement in that, and it will be done at a time and a location that is right for that person. We'll also ensure that that whole process is one where people can have trust and faith in it and will be treated in a dignified way. So in all aspects of this, right through the process, people should feel supported, and they should feel that they have a right to go through that process with the support in any way that they require it, whether that's through bringing a friend, bringing a member of family, or whether it's bringing an advocate in with them. They have that opportunity at every part of this process.
With certain payments, including personal independence payments, coming under the administration of Social Security Scotland, the department was keen to get the thoughts, ideas, concerns of persons who have experience of the current system under DWP. The experience panels were set up during the creation of Social Security Scotland, and one of the participants was Kieran. I wanted to find out why she became involved.
I wanted to make sure that the new system was the right system, and unless I said something, it wasn't going to get changed, I think. And that's the main reason. Unless you take part in it, you can't then say it's not working because you haven't said something about it. So that was my main reason. But the other reason was to be a bit nosy, if I'm honest, is to find out what was going to happen and how the process is going to happen. Experience itself has been really positive. And if there's something that's not been accessible, for example, you get to do a lot of online surveys, and I'm not the greatest techno person in the world. So sometimes they don't always work with my screen reader, Jaws. And I can ring up and I can ask someone to help me fill them in. And they've got quite used to me because I'm so rubbish at it. So that experience is really good. They really understand. They really ask the questions. They're really aware. Whether, and this is a question that I'm absolutely not sure about, is whether what I've said is absolutely going to make a difference all the time, I think is kind of a wait and see thing, because you don't know. Some of the stuff, yes, they have. So they've listened to ideas about the logo, they've listened to the ideas about the strap line, and they've really gone for that. But there are certain things that I really do hope they take into account. One of the things that they're trying to talk about a lot is something called an automatic entitlement, which will mean that potentially people won't be reassessed once you've got a long-term ongoing condition that is medically proven. And I know that goes back to the medical model, which kind of doesn't sit very comfortable with me when I'm an activist. It's like I'm very much on the social model, which is what the social implications of your disability are and what how society impacts on what you can access. I guess that's one of the things I really hope they will go for, which is this idea of making sure that we never have to be, or very rarely have to be, severely reassessed again. Because actually, it's just a waste of money. It's a waste of time. So that would be my acid test, if there was going to be an acid test of whether what I've done really works. And my other acid test would be how many actual disabled people they do get working for the system. Because it's a bit like working for the tax man, in a sense, I think. In the sense that you kind of don't like the system because you don't like the tax man very much. But if you were able to work for it, you'd understand it, and the more they'd understand you, and the better it would potentially be.
So, does the Scottish Government feel that the experience panels are essential in creating a better system? Here's Cabinet Secretary Shirley Ann Somerville.
Well, it's really important as we move forward with the design of our social security system up in Scotland that we do that listening to people. And that's why our experience panels are so important, because our system is designed by people with lived experience of the current system. So we want to know what they think works, obviously what they think doesn't work about it. And we will do that from everything, from the policies to the application process to the way that the agency works. We want to continuously learn and improve. And we can only do that with the help of people themselves directly telling us what they want to change.
A big concern amongst visually impaired people was accessibility. So getting onto websites, being able to navigate them independently, getting information and completing forms to submit. Those concerns and those hopes were shared by Ken.
My concerns about the migration, my hopes for the migration are that it will be easier. I've only ever had to apply for DLA. That was a paper-based system. I had to get somebody else to do it for me. That's quite humiliating. I understand PIP is a paper-based system, and I would have to get somebody else to do that for me, and that would be humiliating. I want a digital system for the future. I want to be able to do it in a format that's accessible to me. They're guaranteed by the legislation that the information that will be provided will be in an accessible form. And I think the wording there is quite concerning, because that's one directional. That says that the information provided by the government to me will be accessible, but I have to then respond to that information, and there's no guarantee that I have seen that I will be able to respond in an accessible basis. And I think that's really important. I know and I understand that many people don't want to go digital, but for me that would mean I would be independently accessing the system, and that's really important. I can only access it because I've got tools on my technology that allow me to access it, so I'm not accessing it in the way that a sighted person would, and therefore I shouldn't be in any way disadvantaged because I've utilised those tools.
Will the new system be more accessible?
The Scottish Government and the agency are required by the Social Security Act to ensure that information is available in accessible format. And we want to do that to a gold standard. So we're ensuring that the forms and everything that we do is available in the format that's right for the individual. Now, we think we've came a long way in what we've done already for Best Start Grant, which can be available in large print, in Braille and in various audio formats. You can submit information in the way that works best for you. So that can be in a paper application form, which is available in various formats. It can be done online, or you can phone up our free phone number and you can go over that with an advisor on the phone. Now, we've ensured that what is available online is accessible. But again, if there's aspects that we need to look at that we can improve on, we'll do that.
It would appear that a lot of work is being done to make Social Security Scotland more person-centred and more accessible for people with visual impairments. But how will the department be monitored?
Well, there's an interim corporate plan out at the moment. The corporate plan for the agency will be out for consultation. We have a charter that's currently going through Parliament that ensures that the rights of people going through the application processes of any dealings with the agency, their rights are being fulfilled at every opportunity. So whether it's the legislation, the charter, or planning within the agency, all of that will involve feedback from people who have actually got the experience of the agency themselves. So if we're not getting something right, people should have the confidence to tell us, and we will look to change that.
So time will tell if Social Security Scotland and the experience panels have got it right. And we will keep you up to date on the progress of Social Security Scotland here on RNIB Connect Radio.